I've got something I want to share with you this morning, and it's good to see visitors here this morning. Welcome. Over the weekend, we did some ping pong. There was a few blokes, there was half a dozen of us, and we were playing table tennis, a bit of ping pong, and we played for 24 hours. Scott Agnew, yeah, some sore arms. We raised over $1,000 for human trafficking projects in places like Thailand and things, so some social justice there, raised over $1,000. And it was ping pong Friday night. After about 3 hours of half a dozen blokes playing ping pong, it was pong pong, really. After that, it was pretty bad. But, you know, I was thinking about this. I had 24 hours to think about it, but life is kind of like playing table tennis. And, you know, you hit the ball over and then pick the ball up, and then you serve again, and then you make a mistake, and then you try again, and then you pick the ball up, and you keep going. Occasionally you win, occasionally you lose, and then you get tired, and things don't work the way that you want, and the shots don't always go the way that you want. Kind of life is like ping pong, all right? You have to write that down if you're taking notes this morning. Life is like ping pong. I had this other picture that life is like climbing a mountain. Life in general is just like climbing a mountain. I don't know if you've ever climbed a mountain or a hill. You know, for people like me, I just climb small hills. I don't do big mountains. Climb a hill and it's, you know, 1 foot after the other. And you get sort of halfway and you think, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I climbing this mountain? I was thinking of a time that we went to the Yu Yangs. Have you ever been to the Yu Yangs towards Geelong? See the Yu Yangs as you drive to Geelong, just on the right-hand side down the freeway. We went to the Yu Yangs, had a picnic lunch. We thought, let's climb the mountain. This will be exciting. This will be great. We love climbing mountains. Let's do this. So we started. And we're about 100 steps in. And I said to the person next to me, why are we doing this for? This is really difficult. And you get about halfway and you think, wow, we've got to be at the lookout shortly. Surely we're almost there. I had a friend recently who told me that when he went to Uluru, he was really sweaty and hot, and he got sort of towards the top of the mountain. He climbed this scaffolding thing and he thought, wow, I'm almost there. I'm so tired. This is going to be good. I'm going to see the lookout. He got to the top of the scaffold and realized he was only halfway up Uluru. We were climbing the Yu Yangs and thinking to myself, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? But who knows that when you get to the lookout, the pain that you went through to get there is worth it, yeah? When you get to that lookout and you can see the perspective, it was worth it. It was worth going on that journey. You know, life is like that. And I reckon we go on this journey of faith in God and we take one step after the other, and occasionally we can't see where we're heading, but when we get to the end, we know that it was worth it. When we get and we see the perspective that God has for us, we know that it was worth it in the end. I remember a few years ago, we went to a place called Erskine Falls. You ever been to Erskine Falls? You're missing out. It's good. It's down the Great Ocean Road. And you get to Lawn, and then you veer off and you head to Erskine Falls. And you start to walk down the stairs. And, I have a pretty logical brain that when you start to walk down the stairs, you realize the further you walk down the stairs, you're going to have to go back up again. So I'm thinking that as we're heading down. And we're walking down these stairs to Erskine Falls. And, you know, you're on this journey and it's tiring. And you're a little bit moody, well, not me, but others a little bit moody, tired, and you're walking down these stairs, and there are moments in the journey, like at Erskine Falls, there are moments where there's like a clearing in the trees, in amongst all the dew and the ferns, and there's a clearing in the trees, and you just see like a little lake of water, and it's just so refreshing, you know? And sometimes in life, it's difficult, right? And we go from step to step to step, and then occasionally in life, we just get to a point where there's a clearing in the trees and we think, wow, that's awesome. And we celebrate those moments. And then who knows what life is like, yeah? A week later, things turn around again and it's difficult again and we're back on the journey. But that's what life is like. And when I was at Erskine Falls, when you get to the end of it, you see this beautiful, beautiful waterfall, beautiful water, slippery rocks and ferns. It's just beautiful. But you're on that journey, and it's difficult on that journey, but when you get to the end of it, it was worth it. And the perseverance was worth it because you got to the end of it. Now, today I want to talk just briefly around making disciples. This is the ministry of our church. And to be a disciple is to be a follower of Jesus and to follow Jesus on this journey of life, right? And sometimes this journey is not easy. And following Jesus is sometimes not easy. But we are called as a church to follow Jesus. And I was thinking about when you play a game of chess, right? You ever play a game of chess? Play a game of chess? Yep. Thank you. One person. That's great. Anyone else play a game of chess? Yeah. Very good. I played a teacher once at a high school and I got thrashed, but we won't go there. But I was playing against the computer. And playing against the computer one day, a game of chess. And who knows that you shouldn't play intermediate level on the computer with a game of chess, yeah? You can play beginners, but you play intermediate level, and you're doing these moves, right? You're making these moves, and all of a sudden, you do a move, and you press enter, and you look and go, oh no, I've just lost the match. I've just made the wrong move. And then the computer will just, you know, oh no, they've just taken my queen and things. And who's tempted at that point to go, undo, control Z, undo. And sometimes in life we do that, right? We make a mistake, we think, oh no, why did I say that? And oh no, why did I spend that much money on the credit card? Oh no, why has that relationship broken? But in life you can't undo, right? You can't undo, you can't control Z or whatever it is, you can't undo it. In life, you just got to keep going. But God is with you in the journey. Even when you make those mistakes, God is with you in the journey. Come on, church, you know what I'm saying, yeah? God is with you on that journey. Even when you make mistakes, He is with you. I want to read some scripture for you this morning. Just five verses of scripture. Matthew chapter 28. If you've got a Bible, you can open up. Matthew 28. And if you've been in church a while, you would have heard this before. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, this is after Jesus had died on the cross, and on the third day he came back to life, and now he was interacting with the disciples after rising from the dead. Then the 11 disciples, remember Judas is not around anymore, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So they went up the mountain. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Sometimes the journey up that mountain is difficult and we need some encouragement on the way. Let me give you some good news this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're on that journey of life, even when it is difficult, God is with you. See, that's what the Bible promises. That's what God promises to us, that even when the journey is difficult, God is with you. Oh, come on, I don't know if you're getting this. Even when it's tough, God is with you. He doesn't leave you when it gets tough. You know, you got the footprints in the sand and you're walking along and there's two footprints in the sand with Jesus, and then times get difficult. You go, God, why is there only one set of footprints? Jesus says, it's then that I carried you through. It's then that I was there with you. And even if you can't perceive it and understand it, God is with you. Just like when Joshua took over the leadership from Moses and God said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He said it to Gideon when the Midianites were attacking him. I've had this word over my life. He said to Gideon, God is with you, mighty warrior. God is with you. Some of you need to claim that today. The journey isn't easy. We get that, right? God doesn't make it easy. He doesn't take the problems away from us all the time. I don't know why he doesn't do that. God doesn't do it, but he does say that he will be with us in the journey. He will be with us when we're climbing the mountain. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. God is with us. And he says here in Matthew 28, the last words that Matthew records that Jesus says, lo and behold, I will be with you till next week. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Praise the Lord. So, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Don't worry, we've got morning tea soon. I'm not going to talk for too long. A disciple is someone that follows another and learns from them. So to be a disciple of Jesus is to choose to learn from Jesus, right? So some of you have chosen already, say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the goal of the church is not so much to grow a large church, it's to make disciples. It's to make disciples who make disciples. That's the goal of the church. And so to be a disciple of Jesus means you learn on the way. Let me share something with you. Just before the death of a guy named Emperor Augustus in 14 AD, right? So 2,000 years ago, around about the birth of Jesus was around 3 AD. So 14 AD, there was this guy, Emperor Augustus. Augustus had his own resume, his achievements and everything, put on bronze tablets, showing the empire how great he was. And that was the culture a couple of thousand years ago. It was to tell people how amazing you were. There was either honor or shame. You were either kind of looked down upon, or you would lift yourself up in front of others and they would honor you. Well, this was what Emperor Augustus was doing. He put his achievements down, put his military success on these bronze tablets, and he had it ready to go. For when he passed away, everybody would know how amazing he was. But when we look today, and we look at, and people say, look how good I am, we kind of look at that and go, that doesn't sit well with me, right? That comes across a bit arrogant, a bit humble. And I wonder what the shift was in society that caused people like Augustus to be so proud and arrogant to come to a point of humility. Well, let me tell you something. When Jesus came on the scene around about that time, 3 AD, and he began to teach people things that were countercultural to the society of its day. So he began to say things like this: the Son of Man hasn't come to be served, but to serve. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. Don't look down on them. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, they should take up their cross. Life's not going to be easy. Take up your cross. Assume a place of humility. If anyone wants to save their life, they need to let go of it. If someone hates you, then bless them and pray for them. Jesus came on the scene, countercultural to the prevailing culture of the day, so different to the time of Augustus and the empire. Jesus came along and taught a different way. And people in those days began to become disciples of Jesus, and they began to learn the ways of Jesus. And that's why 2,000 years later, we look on someone who says something with a bit of arrogance and pride, and we go, that doesn't sit right with me. You know why? It's because of the words of Jesus 2,000 years ago that has gone through society over hundreds of years that we think and believe that that is no longer right. Because people became disciples of Jesus as society shifted. Society shifted. And if we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we learn from Jesus. We learn to follow the things that he says, which still today are countercultural. Because when we think of someone not liking us or cutting us off in traffic, our first response is to get really negative and come back at them. But who knows that you see someone pulls in front of a Christian or something, and instead of bipping the horn and getting all angry, go, God bless you, all the best. I can imagine Dinah doing something like that if she gets cut off in traffic. God bless you, all the best. And, you know, that's a different response that Christians make. See, when people began to learn from Jesus, society changed. For 2,000 years, society has changed. And society is better off when people follow the moral teachings of Jesus. Can I just say that? Society is better off in the Western world when we get back to the moral teachings on which our Western society was built upon. And that's the teachings of Jesus Christ. When people began to learn from Jesus, society changed. Lives changed. People's outlook changed. People's attitudes changed. See, when you learn from Jesus, your worldview changes. When Jesus impacts your life, there ain't anything the devil can do about it. All of a sudden, life isn't about you, it's about others. All of a sudden, life isn't about me, 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 it's about others. All of a sudden, your outlook on life shifts. You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah? All of a sudden, with Jesus, you begin to say, actually, I want to bless that person that's annoying me. I actually want to support that cause over there. I want to give generously to the church. I want to help that cause. I want to do this. And all of a sudden, life shifts and it becomes about other people. I wonder if there's anyone here that wants to do that, be on that journey of following Jesus, even when it's countercultural to today's society, to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to learn from him. I want it to be about others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, turn to the person next to you and say, it's about others. It's not about you. Len, you can say to me, Len, there's no one sitting there. It's not about you. It's about others. It's about others. See, learning from Christ, I've got a couple more things. Learning from Christ is like being in a classroom. You've been in a classroom at high school, and there's a few different types of students, right? There are students who sit up the back, and they fall asleep. They come to class, they come to science class, and they talk all the way through. And people are, and they talk all the way through, and they talk up the back, and they don't listen to anything, and they don't learn anything. But there are others who come to a class, and I was like this. I was a bit of a geek in high school. I would sit up the front, and I would sit right up the front, in fact. When I look back, it was very geeky, but I sat right up the front because I wanted to learn. And I would ask questions, even if they were silly questions, I would ask questions because I wanted to learn. See, following Jesus is kind of like that. I wonder if there's some people that want to sit at the front of class, so to speak, and want to be eager to learn, want to be eager to grow. Even when life is difficult, be eager to open the Word of God and continue to learn and grow. I wonder if there's anyone eager here to learn from Jesus, to learn his ways, to learn what it means to follow him and be a disciple. Oh, praise God. Let me say, God, if you want to teach me something, I'm ready to learn. If you want to speak into my life, I'm ready to listen. Oh, come on. If you want to speak into my life, God, I'm ready to listen. If you want to challenge me about something, I'm ready to grow. If you want to change something in me, I'm ready to adapt. If you want to do something, if you want to change my life, then I'm ready for it. Bring it on. Bring it on. See, following Jesus is not always easy. But you got to understand, God is with you on the journey. When you get to the finish, you'll realize it was worth it. When you get to that end goal, and ultimately it's eternal life. Ultimately, it's eternal life with God in heaven. When you get to that point, you'll realize that the struggles along the way were worth it because God is with you on the journey and he will be with you right to the very end. Praise the Lord. So, God is with us. Even if we make mistakes, God is still with us and we can learn from them. The journey is worth it. So, this is the thing, right? Before we have morning tea. We're going to have an opportunity to say, actually, I want to choose to follow Jesus. Even when the disciples saw Christ, right? He died on the cross, he'd come back alive, and he'd spoken to the disciples. It says in the scriptures, when they saw him, they worshipped him. I know there's people moving around, but listen to this, right? When they saw him, some worshipped him, but some doubted him. And you know, there are people in life where Jesus could come out of the cupboard, here I am. And people would go, nah, I don't believe it. So Jesus came before the disciples and some still doubted. I want to say, don't doubt. God is alive. And Di's testimony is testament to the fact that God is alive and can take a life, change it around, and do something new. I wonder if there are some people here this morning that want to choose to go on that journey with Jesus. You don't need to have all the answers to the questions you have. You don't need to have all the things sorted out in your life before you decide to move. See, God just called people to come and follow him. Hey, Peter, leave your fishing nets, come follow me. And people just began to follow him. I wonder if there are some of us that want to choose to follow Jesus on this journey of life. Up the mountains, at the lookout, wherever and wherever to follow the Lord. I want to invite you, why don't you close your eyes for a moment? We're just going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning, including those that are visiting this morning, to make a decision, yay or nay. Follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. Give it a shot or not. Life is too short to be messing around. God is alive. Jesus is who he said he is. And he wants you to follow him. God, I just want to pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come upon us in a really powerful way. If you're part of this church, why don't you be praying at this point? For others in this place. Maybe it's time to make a change, yeah. Maybe it's time to make a change. Time to go on that journey with God. See, the journey's difficult. The journey can be difficult without God or can be difficult with God. I'd rather have a difficult journey with God than a difficult journey without him. So why don't we pray? Let your Holy Spirit move, God, in this place this morning. Come and touch our hearts. Some of us choose to reject it, but I pray that there might be some today that choose to open up their hearts to something new. Come and follow. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you want to follow Jesus, maybe many years ago you did, I don't know, like Di's journey maybe. And made a choice to recommit. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Just say, I want to follow Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to follow Jesus, even for the first time this morning, just to put your hand up and say, God, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do this. Life is too short. Life is too short to mess about. I want to follow Jesus. If there's anyone there, why don't you put your hand up? Say, God, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. There's a few hands going up. Is there anybody else who wants to pray that? I want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Pop your hands down, guys. Everybody is singing for us.